Blog Talk Radio.
Sector for 50 years. I started when I was a young teenager. Among the interesting birthdays today, John Marshall, who was the fourth Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, not the first. It's quite interesting. A lot of the history books refer to John Marshall, but the first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court was John Jay, who didn't last that long. And then he was succeeded by Oliver Ellsworth and John Rutledge, and then John Marshall became had the longest tenure of any United States Supreme Court justice. He was followed by Roger Taney, the first Roman Catholic to become the Chief Justice of the United States. There have been two other Catholics who were Chief Justice. One was Edward White, who was a Confederate from Louisiana after the Civil War, and the current one, John Roberts, who's a Roman Catholic. we'll see how long he lasts. John Marshall was Chief Justice for 34 years. His great contribution was he established the right of the federal courts to review. It's a case that came up in several of the cases that I've worked on as a legal researcher and special investigator. Excuse me. I still have the surgery problem. Also, he established the right of the really set up the Supreme Court as the third branch of the federal government. That is the executive, president, and then there's Congress, the legislative, and then there's the judiciary. Now, what's also interesting about John Marshall, he served in several positions as Secretary of State. We've never had a Chief Justice who served in that position. We have had, William Howard Taft, who later served as President and also as Governor General of the Philippines after the Spanish-American War. William Howard Taft, in fact, the biggest, fattest man ever to occupy the White House and the U.S. Supreme Court, also always wanted to be Chief Justice of the United States, and after he lost the 1912 election to Woodrow Wilson, later, Harding then appointed Taft to the U.S. Supreme Court. And, of course, Taft's son was Robert Taft, Mr. Republican Senator from Ohio. The Tafts are very big in Ohio politics, even recently. Now, the also on this day, it's significant in the history of baseball. Babe Ruth gave his farewell. He had cancer, it's hot dogs, I guess, and his lifestyle. And this is his farewell to baseball.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You know how bad my voice sounds. Well, it feels just as bad. You know this baseball game of ours comes up from the youth. That means the boys. And after you're a boy and grow up to know how to play ball, then you come to the boys you see representing themselves today in your national pastime. The only real game, I think, in the world, baseball. As a rule, some people think if you give them a football or a baseball or something like that, naturally, they're athletes right away. But you can't do that in baseball. You gotta start from way down the bottom when you're 6 or 7 years of age. You can't wait until you're 15 or 16. You gotta let it grow up with you. And if you're successful and you try hard enough, you're bound to come out on top, just like these boys have come to the top now. There's been so many lovely things said about me, and I'm glad that I've had the opportunity to thank everybody. Thank you.
Now, of course, we know baseball and even football, these professional athletes, especially the blacks, they don't have the example of a strong male influence, a father influence in their lives. And so we have the situations of drugs. In one case, Boston Patriots, murder, drugs, cover up, all that sort of thing. And also here in San Francisco, drunken driving, mysterious gunshots, drugs, and these are young black players. It's not only blacks. And then, of course, there was the Balco scandal that Jack Cashel wrote about in his book, What's the Matter with California? Of course, it was not covered by the San Francisco Chronicle or a major, as far as I could see, California newspapers and book reviews. Of course, the stuff that a lot of the reviews that they do, you don't see those books in the stores come Christmas time. They're not even in the remainder stack. So that tells you the value of some of the stuff that what the book reviewers at the major papers consider important. Obviously, the book buying public doesn't consider that important. Among the other deaths today, we had the birthday, John Sevier. He's considered to be the father of Tennessee. He was a colonial period, Revolutionary War, American Indian fighter. I have some objections to that, considering some of my ancestors on my mother's side are from Tennessee. He was involved in the one of the major battles in the Revolutionary War, and this Indian fighter thing, I don't know, but he's part of history. He's not that well known. Also, among the other deaths today, Churchill had four children. He had one son, Spencer, and then he had three daughters. One of them was Sarah, who became an actress. She died on this day. And then we have, who else died that's of interest? And then getting back to the first Chief Justice. The first Chief Justice was actually a guy named John Jay. So that's important. Now, we're looking right now because we've had some problems with our computer system. We've just put in new operating system, a bunch of other new things, a new computer, and we want to, catch up. So we're doing this on today, on Tuesday. We will have another show tomorrow on Wednesday to catch up. And, of course, there are people asking what happened. I'm going to play also, because it's important, on this day in 1968, 60 Minutes was started. And, of course, we have the infamous occurrence at the Democratic National Convention in August of 1968, a convention which I covered from outside on the streets, shot the film Guns and Gas versus Chance and Flowers. Dan Rather was knocked down. He was inside the convention hall, and he was knocked down. And for some reason, I cannot find that interview where he was not interviewed, it was broadcast from the floor, where he was got into a confrontation with the some of the what he called thugs. And of course, Walter Cronkite was sitting up in the one of the broadcast booths, as they call it in those days. So he reported on the what was going on, what he could see on the floor, down on the floor where a young Dan Rather was he held onto his microphone like a good journalist, and he was knocked down. For some reason, I can't fight, but we are going to play, since it is important that 1968, I think it's important to replay Mayor Daley. I remember being at Lake Michigan with what's his name, Allen Ginsberg, who was threatening to put LSD in the water, and Mayor Daley freaked. One of the reasons Mayor Daley freaked was because there was a riot in Chicago when Martin Luther King died, and the Chicago police were in effect caught flat-footed, and Daley, who nearly lost his second election because of a scandal in the Chicago Police Department, the Summerdale scandal, where policemen who were near retirement operated a burglary ring in northwest Chicago, an area which is pricey, and where there was little crime, the Summerdale district of Chicago. And the babbling burglar named O'Connor was caught, and the police caught him burglarizing a house, and the police decided to put him to work for them. And then the whole thing blew up, and they had a Republican district attorney, that's what they're called back there, or state's attorney, named Ben Adamowski. And he had it in for Richard Daley, and Daley managed to survive that scandal and never had any problems since. That's important. And Daley always protected his police. He brought in a University of California police law professor, Orlando W. Wilson, who was of Scandinavian ancestry, as was Earl Warren, and they anglicized their name. Wilson had been a professor of criminology at the University of California at Berkeley, and prior to that, he was a colonel in the U.S. Army and handled the police matters in Europe, I believe, at Nuremberg. So they brought in Orlando Wilson to become police commissioner and to clean up the Chicago Police Department. And I think this is, and we're going to play this right now, Mayor Daley on the 1968 Democratic Convention riot. Can't figure this one out, folks. Wait another minute to see what I know.
In the heat of emotion and riot, some policemen may have overacted, but to judge the entire police department by the alleged action of a few would be just as unfair as to judge our entire younger generation by the action of this mob. I would like to say here and now that this administration, our administration, and the people of Chicago have never and will condone brutality at any time, but they will never permit a lawless, violent group of terrorists to menace the lives of millions of people, destroy the purpose of this national convention, and take over the streets of Chicago.
No, that was Richard Daley after the when he was accused, his police department was accused of rioting. Now, I remember seeing Chicago cops slash tires and beat people, but nobody was seriously injured. Nobody was killed, and that's a credit to that department, considering some of the things that had happened in the past. Now, among the other things that's important, the 60 Minutes started in 1968, and of course, it's been a long-running program. There's been controversy from time to time with that program, and there's also a segment of 60 Minutes on cable TV. Now, one scandal that the New York Times has reported on, and it's called Independent Medical Examiner. When most people hear the term medical examiner, what they think of is a coroner. And, of course, a coroner, a medical examiner, does autopsies and determines death, of people, of bodies that come into his possession or under his jurisdiction. However, what we're finding is we have a group of sleazy doctors who have, some of them are semi-retired, and they work with controversial insurance adjusters who want to lowball a case. Now, the term lowball means to offer to a claimant less than the adjuster knows that the claim is really worth under the policy or under the liability. So independent medical examiners, some of whom are not even registered with, there is an independent medical examiner organization, which is controversial in and of itself. But there's a case in New York, the Katz case, Dr. Katz, who's apparently earned millions of dollars by doing all kinds of questionable so-called medical examinations for insurance companies. And also, these medical examiners supposedly do thorough physical examinations of claimants who file workmen's compensation cases and claims. And this is not only happening in New York, it's happened here in San Francisco. And this one's more interesting because it involves an 84-year-old doctor, orthopedist, orthopedists are supposed to be recertified every 10 years. This guy hasn't been recertified since he became an orthopedic surgeon in 1955. And he's not on any of the surgical staffs of any hospital that we could find here in California. And he's not even an independent medical examiner member of that organization, but yet he puts this on his medical reports, which are controversial in and of themselves. There's going to be more on this one because apparently there's adjuster fraud involved, and an attorney general of one state where one of the insurance companies has its home office, that state's attorney general has been informed of what one of the adjusters have done in the case insurance adjuster fraud. Now, we usually hear about insurance fraud when we have people staging accidents. Usually chiropractors are the medical profession that usually comes up. Also, auto repair shops. And more we're seeing dirty, corrupt adjusters. But now we have this independent medical examiner, IME for short. And you be forewarned. What you don't know can hurt, harm, and cost you. And people have been ripped off by these so-called independent medical examiners. Now, there are problems even in Canada. The lawyers up there are talking about the same practice. We will give you more information because millions of dollars have been being ripped off from consumers and claimants because of the shady practices of these so-called independent medical examiners. The state of Washington is starting to crack down on this crowd, and I don't know what California has done. I haven't seen anything, but usually when there's fraud, it's bigger out here than it is in other parts of the country because there are more doctors out here. And this is besmirching the medical profession because there are a lot of honest, ethical, competent doctors. Doctors make mistakes, but there are doctors, they don't do it fraudulently or commit fraud like some of these independent medical examiners. There will be more on this. Now, we're going to be back Wednesday because I missed, 3 or 4 shows because I was ill. And we are going to be updating our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. There are mothers who have lost, whose children have been missing. Some of them are now over 21, so they're considered adults. But we there was a meeting, a public gathering in San Francisco about 3 weeks ago, and the five mothers, as I call them, try to enlist public health in getting local, state, and federal law enforcement to help them locate their sons or find out what has happened to their sons. Hopefully, they're not done, or not dead, excuse me. And these mothers, I call them the five, are doing what, or should be doing what the mothers in Argentina and Chile did after the Dirty War, and the young students and demonstrators, over 18, of course, were picked up by the political police in Chile and in Argentina. And the Spanish word for these victims are called desaparecidos, and the mothers are the disappeared ones. And horrible things, these youths were tortured, interrogated, tortured, drugged, and then in some cases in Chile, the Chilean Air Force, which was involved in some of this, they would strip these young people, men, males and females, drug them, inject drugs into their system, fly over the ocean where there were sharks, and then dump these people into the water. And hopefully the drugs kept them anesthetized, because once they were dumped in the shark-infested water, you can imagine what happened. The same thing happened in Argentina, where General Galtieri and the junta there picked up young students and protesters who were considered terrorists under the interpretation of the junta that was in power at the time. And these young males and females were tortured. If they had children, the children were taken away and were, quote, adopted, even by some of the torturers' families. Just horrible. And these kids have been, the babies have grown up, and they found out that the so-called parents that they knew from childhood were not their birth parents. And so some of them were looking for their parents, and trying to find out what happened. And they are discovering that their parents, who were young at the time, were tortured and murdered and buried all over Argentina. So these things have happened. And what has happened with these families, like Dr. Cidi's family, he's a dentist, lost his son. We'll be putting these things up and giving, we covered that gathering where there was music and a large crowd, and these mothers tried to make people aware that there are over 1,300 missing persons just in San Francisco, that have been involved in San Francisco alone. You can imagine what's happened across the country. Now, there we have one TV show that's been long-running about missing persons, but there's another one that just surfaced on Fox TV, so we will be talking about that in upcoming shows. So we're going to end right now, I'm losing my voice, with our usual thing, politics and poker, and of course, go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVerites, and also we'll be doing the first of our video e-magazines, excerpts from Easy Pickings, when greed, graft, and government grants embrace. We'll be exposing a lot of these people who have gotten rich off of the poverty programs, and the money that was supposed to go to inner cities and to poor people, and people have lost their jobs and instead have enriched these professional poverty profiteers, some of whom entered the country, we suspect, illegally. So we will end with politics and poker, and we will be back tomorrow at 4 p.m. We're trying to make up for the lost time. And so here is politics and poker, our ending theme.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big Ace.
Ace Betts.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the time?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Impulse.
Possible straight, possible flush.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bat out.
Politics and poker, shuffle up and cards and find the joker. Need a game for children, need a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
where to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrace.
Bet 'em.
Little trays, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Running neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
Tomorrow at 4 p.m. and then we'll resume our regular schedule next week. We will have our Friday show and we'll be catching up as we reel this week. And Serge. So go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas, and also start paying more attention to these missing children because according to our sources that some of these children may have been kidnapped by sexual predators who operate on an international scale. We'll get into more of that. This is interesting. A lot of this information has been coming from people who are gay in their private life, and they're concerned that they're going to be, decent gay people who don't wear their sexuality on their sleeve, but keep their practices private and behind doors. They're not out in the streets committing sodomy like some of these people. And they are the ones who are blowing the whistle on the sexual predators, the video voyeurs, the pornographers, that crowd, and the morons in the media who cover this stuff up and also promote this agenda. So we will be back tomorrow, and stay safe.